You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is an interesting time in our beloved Commonwealth. It's a challenging time in many, many parts of the Commonwealth as well. I saw some photos the other day of Governor Glenn Youngkin and the First Lady, Suzanne Youngkin, meeting with first responders, meeting with people who were dealing with this terrible hurricane that has impacted our state. And I'm very, very happy to say that Governor Glenn Youngkin is joining us. Governor, as always, thank you for making some time for us.
Jeff, great to be with you, and thank you for your very warm thoughts with regards to the suffering that so many Virginians are going through today. Listen, Hurricane Helene was a huge storm, and she hit us hard. And I first just want to thank the amazing heroism from our first responders, who we pre-positioned with extensive capabilities set up in advance of the storm, and they performed in such memorable, heroic ways. Jeff, we had two Virginians who tragically lost their lives, but we had over 70 life-saving rescues that were performed by our Virginia State Police and our Virginia National Guard and our Swiftwater Rescue crews from all over the state. From our local law enforcement, sheriffs and police departments, from our EMS personnel, firefighters, from our VDOT personnel. I mean, it was an all hands on deck moment in order to rescue Virginians who were being inundated truly by this historic storm. And then we find ourselves in a moment where we still haven't stabilized people's lives. We have electricity that is now almost all come back online, but not yet. We've got cell service that still is not fully restored. We want to make sure that Virginians who need access to health care get access to their necessary treatments if they have them, or oxygen supplies or pharmaceuticals if they need them. And then finally, and we have people who've just lost everything. And so the tremendous work that we've been doing to get people into a warm, safe place to stay, with sometimes having to provide literally clothing because it's all been destroyed, warm meals, and of course, starting the process now of assessing the recovery. It's been an inspirational week. It's been a tragic week, and I'm so proud of the way Virginia has reacted.
Well, Governor, it was inspiring to all to see you and the First Lady there. Some of the photographs that I was able to view from the Virginia State Police high above these waters, giving indications of what they were doing and all of the rescue efforts. It is amazing. And I know it meant the world to those first responders for you to meet with them on a personal basis. You talk to the first responders, but boy, you're also dealing with those folks we just mentioned. They've lost, in some cases, everything. Were you able to provide a little bit of hope to them? And are there going to be resources available, state, federal, et cetera, for them to access?
Yeah, let me just begin with the tragic circumstances that exist. And Jeff, there was a woman who we met as we were in an area where people's homes had literally just been washed away. And she came up and said, "Governor, I've lost everything. I don't have any clothes. I don't have any place to go. I don't have any food." And what was amazing to see was the community just wrap around her, and the state emergency management personnel, along with the city manager from that part of Giles County, from the church support groups, just put their arms out and provided her with a safe place to stay, a warm meal, clothes, and we'll start the process. But at the beginning, it's just providing people those basic necessities. That is what has been most heart-wrenching, but also most uplifting, is to see us react. The support is big. So, of course, the state has moved in very strongly on a preemptive basis up front to get ready, but also flooding the zone with our Virginia Department of Emergency Management personnel, VDOT personnel to clean and clear roads. We've had folks from the Department of Corrections, inmates, come and serve nearly 10,000 meals. We've had folks from the Virginia Department of Health just mobilized to make sure people can get access to the health care that they need. And I have been so encouraged by the selfless nature of state government and local government. And now, over the weekend, we were able to receive the declaration of emergency from the federal government. And so when we all of a sudden see those resources pile in as well, and then, of course, this morning we were able to announce the approval of our application for a major declaration of emergency, again, from the federal government, and that unloads even more resources. So there is an enormous amount of support and help in the region. I would say if folks are interested in supporting charities that are very active, of course, what we've seen is an organization called God's Pit Crew out of Danville. It went to work immediately with resources, and that has been an amazing step for folks. Of course, there's lots of other places between churches that have gone to work as well, but it's been an all-hands-on-deck effort, and I'm just so proud of what's happening. It's going to be a long recovery, Jeff. With the extensive nature of the damage to the roads and bridges and homes that have been lost, business interrupted in a big way, we're going to have a long recovery, and I have great confidence in Virginians' ability to recover, and we're going to have to continue to work together. It's not a 24-hour, 48-hour effort. This is going to be weeks and months, if not years, in order to get everybody back to where they were.
Well, kudos to you, Governor Youngkin, for getting that the paperwork, if you will, to the federal government for those declarations of emergency ahead of time, really being in front of this. And you're talking about all the wonderful people in our beloved Commonwealth coming together. This is what we've always called the Virginia way. We just, you know this, we help those people that need help, and we're not looking for a lot of glory. We just do what needs to be done. I want to ask you for a moment to pivot to an executive order that that I have in front of me, and I am just so thrilled.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
To read this, you know, and my listeners know, there are a couple of issues that are near and dear to my heart. Those in our community who have disabilities and special needs, and as a former police officer, anybody who has ever served as a first responder, you've been really head and shoulders above any other governor that I've seen supporting each of those areas. I want to talk a little bit about this first responder wellness office, this Executive Order 38. Can you let us all in on what that is and why you decided now was the time to do this?
Well, of course, nothing is more important than supporting our first responders. And of course, has there been a better example of their impact and heroism than just over the course of this last week? I mean, Jeffrey, you saw the Virginia State Police helicopter units evacuating patients from a roof of a hospital in Tennessee, sure, and saving lives. And we watched our just unbelievable Virginia National Guard helicopter crews rappelling into rushing water and rescuing people off of the hoods of their cars. And so this is a group that needs our support and deserves our support. And the reality, of course, is that when you constantly are placed in those kinds of circumstances, it takes a toll. It takes a toll on not just your physical health, but your emotional health as well. And that's why this executive order is so important, because it formalizes many of the informal things that we are doing. We first are establishing an Office of First Responder Wellness. It's so important for us to recognize that doing things off the corner of our desk oftentimes work but aren't dependable. And I want to make sure that we have a permanent office looking after our first responders' wellness. It second authorizes $3 million of funding for the office to create a grant program to support local agencies and nonprofits to provide the kind of wraparound support that our first responders deserve. And then finally, we're going to have a senior person, a chief coordinating officer, who will work across government at the local level, at the state level, and yes, even drawing into some of the federal resources to make sure that we are bringing together all of our capabilities in a coordinated way to support these first responder heroes. This is a really important effort to permanentize and make much more effective the collaboration and the funding to take care of these folks that take such good care of us.
Well, God bless you for doing that, Mr. Governor. I mean, it just is such, it's an essential thing, Governor Youngkin, and it has been long overdue, and honest to goodness, thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing that. You mentioned the national stage, the federal government. As we are recording this, we are in the midst of a port strike. And a mutual friend of ours, Tom Leonard, was with me yesterday and said, Jeff, we could see prices going through the roof because these ships with containers are sitting at the ports. They're not being offloaded, and we're not going to have things in the store. What's your sense of that? And will President Biden step to the plate? Because he does have the power, if I understand it, to get these guys back to work.
Yeah, I wrote to him last week. I wrote to President Biden and Vice President Harris and urged them in the strongest way possible to call everyone together and avert this strike. And they just didn't do it. And we now see a real economic catastrophe because the impact of having these most important ports shut from Maine to Texas, all across and down the Atlantic coast, around the Gulf Coast, is estimated to cost us between $4 and $5 billion a day. And I think the reality of what is happening may not be fully appreciated until we have a supply chain interruption that possibly could be as bad as we saw at the worst time during the pandemic. And just think about it. Critical pharmaceutical supplies, the critical supply chains for manufacturing, and to have all of the items on shelves that people need, exports of our own agricultural industry that need to be delivered to other places in the United States and around the world. And it's even made 10 times worse by the fact that we have the entire Southeast region suffering from the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, and our ports are shut. President Biden and Kamala Harris can resolve this. They must lead. And I have to say, this is a leadership gut check for them. They must use their executive authority to bring people back to the table. They can use their Taft-Hartley authority and get everybody back to work in a cooling off period. They can avert a massive economic disruption. And can you imagine, here we are moving into the fall with Christmas around the corner, and supply chains are going to be massively disrupted. Inflation is going to present itself again if this thing extends for any long period of time. And this is a leadership gut check for President Biden and Vice President Harris to get this thing back on the rails and to use the authority that has been used before in order to make sure that we don't have extensive economic damage. I must add, Virginia is particularly exposed here. We have 60 ships sitting off the coast that can't unload. And the sad reality is the portion of this national contract that pertains to Virginia has been long done. And so the workers at the Virginia port and the shippers at the Virginia port agreed their part of this over the summer. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why the president and the vice president shouldn't haul everybody back into work, keep things open for a cooling off period, and meanwhile, force a resolution here so that we can keep America and Virginia working.
Well, let us hope that the right things are going to be done in Washington, D.C. Governor Youngkin, I always appreciate you making time, and I know your schedule is packed, but if you've got 60 seconds, please, you tell the First Lady that her Sisterhood Spotlight program is an absolute hit here at the Katz family home. We love it.
Well, thank you. The First Lady and my amazing wife, Suzanne, I think is doing incredible work, and I just so appreciate the efforts that she has made in order to bring the savage results of fentanyl poisoning across Virginia to the forefront of everyone's attention, to make sure that everyone is working hard to protect our children from the evils of social media and what it's done to our kids. And then finally, she just lifts up people all over the state, and I just watched her pray with and hug on people in Southwest Virginia, and I'm just so proud of the work that she's doing.
I love it. Governor Glenn Youngkin. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.